Okay, so start with cattle on feed report from last week. It was an interesting set of numbers, not totally unexpected, but it was when it came out, even those numbers were higher than some had thought they might be.
Well, no question. We're looking for maybe 15, 16% greater placements, ended up with 22%. So highest placements that we've had since we started this report back in 1996. And those were young animals, lightweight animals going into the feedlots, where we saw the calves that were under 600 pounds, really lightweight calves here, 51% up from last year, and the 600, 700-pound calves were up 33%. So really what we saw was maybe a very unusual situation where you had in July last summer some very moderate corn prices by today's standard, and you had deferred live cattle futures above $1.20 a pound. So I think that was kind of the sweet spot for the cattle on feed report. We may never see that number of placements, at least for a long time. And really, what we have to go back and look at is that sweet spot was deferred futures were about $10 higher than they are now as you look out to December, February 2012. And corn prices, we actually saw December corn below $6 for a very short period of time in July, but certainly under $6.50 for December corn futures for a good bit of July. And of course, we're nearly a dollar higher today. So really looked like an enormous profit opportunity. A lot of cattle feeders jumped on it. We hope they got their corn bought and their live cattle sold.
And then when you take that and you put it in perspective of what happened with those cattle moving into the feedlot so quickly, is that mostly a Texas and Panhandle area drought phenomenon? And what does it really mean when we get out to the first and second quarter for consumption of corn and other feed ingredients?
Well, obviously, the Southern Plains drought is just a driving force for a number of our markets and certainly the cattle market as well. So we saw a lot of those calves that coming out of the southern Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas area that they just don't have feed, or to get the feed has to be transported in. So those calves were moving rapidly out as lightweight calves. So that clearly is a factor. We can follow along with your thoughts about corn consumption now, and this puts the third highest number of cattle on feed for August 1st that we have had since we've been recording data in this way. That certainly doesn't bode well for cutting feed usage on the cattle side, on the cattle feeding side. So we're going to be very strong numbers there as we move all the way through this fall and into the early part of 2012. Then the other implication, of course, is that we're going to bunch more cattle up in terms of when they come to market. Maybe some of those really showing up very late this year, particularly into the first quarter of 2012 as they come out of the feedlots. So, I think we have depressed somewhat the live cattle futures for late this year, very late, the December and on into first quarter of 2012. The other side of this, though, is to say that beef supplies, as our cow herd continues to drop, we're going to see very small supplies of beef all the way through 2012. Those numbers currently look like we'll be down about 4% on per capita supplies of beef in 2012. And what that means is that you're still going to have very strong cattle prices. Not as strong as we would have had that, say, in the first quarter of 2012 had we not bunched all these cattle up, but they are still going to be very strong next year. But this probably also says that we'll get a pretty strong seasonal movement up very late winter and into the early spring, late March into early April. I think we've seen futures trading a dollar quarter a pound, $125 a hundredweight, out in that time period. Every reason we could believe, if the economy holds together, we could be higher than that and go to new record high cattle prices, maybe $1.30 a pound on finished cattle on into the early spring next year. So I think all this is counterbalanced by saying beef supplies are just really going to be short for 2012.
Can you take the livestock sector as a whole and look at consumption, given what the poultry industry has decided to do with the weights at which it's marketing chickens and what the pork industry might be doing in the coming months, and tell me how that might bode for total corn consumption in the coming marketing year?
Well, of course, I think with these strong cattle on feed numbers, you know, we don't see much change in the hog herd, that's going to be fairly status quo. We are looking at a little bit of increase in both turkey and pork for next year, about 1% on per capita supplies. So right at this point, we don't see a rationing or reduction in corn usage for the animals industry with regard to the numbers. Probably the broiler sector is the one that apparently is struggling most in terms of financial returns at this point, and appears to be the one that will cut the most rapidly their corn usage going into harvest this year and starting to use the 2011 crop this fall. The pork industry, you know, we think they can pay probably in the $7 range for corn. That appears to be about where the futures market is pricing new crop corn. I'm talking about a U.S. average farm price. And that may be slightly higher now, maybe in the 710 to 715 range for a U.S. average farm price that the futures is pricing. So I think we're going to be looking for the weak links in the whole usage base of corn, especially as there are growing concerns that we may be even shortening the crop up from what the USDA had in their August estimate. And that means trying to get end users, someone to cut back in a time period when there's not a lot of willingness to cut back.
Yeah, well, that's my question as a follow-up, because I thought maybe that when we asked you about livestock that we would see a cutback in consumption because there would be fewer numbers, that they would be going to market faster, that the total consumption might come down, but it doesn't appear that will be the case. If livestock's not the weak link, where is the weak link?
Well, the weak link is still to be determined. We, as economists, have often thought that the export market, our foreign buyers, would be one of the areas where we would get cutbacks. One of the reasons for that is that some of our foreign buyers are in developing countries where their incomes are not as high. And the thought was that they would feel the financial stress on their consumers more quickly and they would cut back. Our evidence from 2007-2008, when we had to have very high prices to get some end users to cut back, was that the world actually bought more corn and other products that year. And I think this is a different world that we live in. We have a very weak U.S. dollar. We have a great concern in many countries, including China, South Korea, with very high in food inflation. We have governments that are anxious to do everything they can to avoid those high cost of food and high increasing rates of food. And that means almost at any cost they will buy in the world market. So I think what that suggests to me is that it is going to be the livestock sector that cuts back. It may not be the export or our foreign buyers that cut back, and that we have to ratchet prices, especially if we're going to cut yield somewhat more above the $7 or low $7 range. We have to convince the livestock industry in this country that these prices are not going to moderate on corn, that it's going to be really the 2012 U.S. crop before we can begin to talk about moderation. And unfortunately for the livestock feeder, that's still over a year away.
Well, if you tell me that it has to be the livestock sector, and they look like they can manage $7 corn, that only tells me $8 corn has to be in the offing for long enough that it makes the livestock sector say no.
Yeah, and you know, we have to be always cautious about putting any round number, but I think that number above $7 is what it is going to take to do that this year, and we might go back to 07, 08. And that year, our livestock industries were at a point where once you got corn into certainly above $4, but then moved on to $5, $6, that was enough. They threw their hands up. They really responded after those high prices in 2007 and 2008. And I think our livestock industry today is primarily now geared to be able to pay the prices of 07, 08. Why is that? Because they really took huge losses in 08, 09. They reduced their herds. They reduced their flocks. So now if we just look at the amount of meats and poultry available in the U.S. on a per capita basis for 2012 versus 07, the last year before corn prices really went up, we're going to see beef per capita supplies 15% lower for U.S. consumers in 2012 versus 07, pork 8% less pork, turkey 7% less, and chicken 3% less. That's 9% less red meats and poultry in the United States. In other words, the livestock industries have really reduced their supply. They've got their product prices higher where they can pay $7. You got to go above $7 to convince them for another round of cuts. Now, to me, we're going through, in essence, what we did in 07, 08. You have to tell them it's a new era. Those prices are not going to be below $6. They're going to be $7 or higher for an extended period of time, and they're going to have to make the adjustment.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.